con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hi and welcome to season 2 of Good for Construction. In season 2, we talk to people who've studied architecture but have ventured into creating and choosing a different field as a profession. Through the conversations with our guests in season 2, we track their career trajectories and see the paths that they've chosen and how they've landed up in the career and the profession that they have right now. Before we begin, we'd like to let you know that our podcast is available on a bunch of platforms like Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Castbox. You can download any of these applications from the Google Play Store or App Store. Subscribe to our channel on any of these podcast applications to stay updated. Also, follow us on social media platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for behind-the-scenes updates and pictures. Our handle is @goodforconstructionpodcast. Hey guys, so today in studio we have Dilraj Bhatia. Hi Dilraj.
Hi Isha.
So Dilraj runs a venture called Debel Studio and she'll tell us a little bit more about it.
Yes, thank you for having me here. And so Debel is a contemporary lighting studio that I started in 2017. The company was launched in January 2017 and we launched the studio in November. And it is all about lighting, everything to do from lighting consultation to the product supply to installation of the lights and making sure all the spaces are lit up finally.
So it's a one-stop shop.
It is a one-stop shop.
Nice. Yes. And for reference, guys, just go check out their Instagram page. Their studio is stunning. It's amazing. It's something you've never seen before. So,
go and do
your Instagram stalking. So Dilraj, to give our listeners a little context, could you very objectively chart out the academic trajectory for us?
So I had done completed architecture in 2014. And between those 4 or 5 years, like 5 years of college, I think when I was in third or fourth year, I realized this is not something that I want to do for a living for sure. Because architects, I think there is so much involved and they have so much to take care of. Yeah. I would consider myself a little irresponsible in that behavior, in that aspect. And I would just want something that has quick results. I would want something that I do, because you're a creative person, you want to jump from one, like at least I want to jump from one project to the other.
Yeah.
So something that was quicker for me and more product based. And once I finished my graduation, I was doing a few interior projects. And that's when I realized that there are, like, my focus on in those projects were on the lighting, the sculptural aspect, plus the layouts as well. So that's when I made plan to shift to focusing on lighting. And then I took up a lot of online courses, and because Indian education right now does not have any specific lighting course that you can take up, so I did my research of the Indian standards that are required and what are the illuminance levels that are fit for the Indian climate and what is required, what are the standards. And then yes, of course, then there was no looking back after that.
That's super. I mean, I'd never heard of Indian lighting standards.
Yeah,
I think
there are.
The first I've heard of it.
There are Indian lighting standards of how much light is required in every kind of room. So, yes.
Yeah, I think that I read in the bylaws and all that, that is there. But itna detail me.
So, there's about a 2,500 page booklet on just lighting.
Wow.
With the bylaws and the requirements. So yes, I did go through that.
That's crazy. That's insane. So you shifted from feet and inches metric to lux.
Yes,
so lux has become your unit of measurement now.
Yes, exactly. Everything it revolves around lux.
Lux.
Yes.
Lux, not the soap, guys.
Exactly.
It's a unit. So, Dilraj, how did you find your love for lighting and designing lighting fixtures?
Yeah, so in the two residential projects that I've done, when you're a designer, you can't stick to, I would say, just designing a space or just designing a furniture piece, because then you, everything about the space has to be related to your design. It has to come from, the same thought process. So I was looking for a particular light fixture that complemented with the space that I had. And what I realized was that in the market, what you just pick up what there is.
Yeah.
So there are limited options. There is nothing where I could go and say that, okay, you know, this is exactly what I want and this is how I want it to be, even in a lighting fixture or say in the layouts. I didn't know as a fresher at that time as an architect that, okay, if this is the output that I want, then what are the kind of lighting that I would need for that? In the market also, there people will tell you, okay, there are options available, of course, but how do I use those options in a particular way so that I get the required output? That's when I realized that my projects were all revolving around light. I was playing more with the natural light, of course, and then I realized how important it is to have that balance between the natural light and artificial light to create the ambience that you want.
Yeah,
and that's when the switch had happened, and in two projects only I was like, okay, this is the gap in the market and I'm gonna jump into this,
which is great. I think you tapped into a good field of architecture that hasn't been explored at all by
it
architects
hasn't been,
and I think it gives you an advantage to be an architect also that way.
Yes, it does. Because I understand architects better when they're working on projects. I know what they're looking for and I can help them create that space. So in the end, it's just about what we do is supporting the architect's vision in the best way that we can. So we have people who would come and they would give us the layouts and they say that, okay, and they would tell us that, okay, this is the kind of ambience that I want. Someone wants a very lit up space. Someone wants a very dramatic lighting. So how do you achieve that and in what ways? We help them through that process throughout.
So how did you build on this skill as a lighting designer? Because I think in college there is one subject which teaches you about how to do lighting, but I think that's only for like one semester.
Yeah, there was a lighting design studio for I think about 6 months that
semester ago.
Yeah,
so that doesn't really go into details, so.
And that is more that does I think works more around how architecture can help you with lighting. So it's more about playing with the natural light or using the natural light in the best possible way. It doesn't talk about artificial lighting that much.
No, not so,
so
much.
Yeah. So
I think they only teach you like placement of and the layouting, I think, the technical layouting.
At a very basic level.
Yeah. So how did you develop your skill to a level where you started your own venture of lighting design?
So for that, the research that I did involved, one, the Indian standards that were very important, because I don't think that we follow those Indian standards that much, honestly. Right now, it's more about when we look at the lux levels as much as we look at the layouts or the aesthetic aspect of it. But it's very important to concentrate on the lux levels as well, because that does have a physiological or a psychological and a psychological impact. And so one was that I'd done my study for the Indian standard. Then I had taken up 2-3 online courses that explained of why we're putting a certain kind of light and why one kind of light versus the other. So even if you're talking about downlighters, there are say 3 or 4 kind of downlighters. What goes where? How, if you're designing, what are the steps that you take, or what is a question? And now I know that if a client comes in, what would be my questions that I need to ask. And by the end of it, they're like, oh, we never thought that all of these would you know, make a difference in choosing the light fixture that you have. So all these details are something that I'd learned through these online courses, through lighting designers that I was following, and of course all the reading material that I've had throughout the initial 6 months till continue.
So if someone would want to maybe follow the path that you're following and get into lighting design, what kind of online courses should they look for?
There are actually a lot of online courses. One that teaches you basics of lighting design and interior design in interiors. That is the most basic one, because it teaches you of how your thought process should be as a lighting designer. Then there are specific courses of what is the best way to light up a bedroom, or what is the best way to light up an office space, or what are the key factors that you should be thinking about when you are lighting up a restaurant or a public space, and lighting tips and tricks of highlighting or lighting up outdoor spaces. And all of these spaces have such vast and diverse kind of factors that you take into account that it completely changes the scheme. So I, right till now, I every like like a month or so, I take up one specific course that talks more into detail about what space I'm looking at or how you can illuminate it.
So do the online courses adhere or do they match with the Indian standards, or is that something that you have to do separately? Like you take that knowledge and then you fit it into the Indian context?
So I do take that knowledge and I fit it into the Indian context because of the lux level. The lux levels, the standards are very different because the natural light in India is a lot more than what you can expect other parts of the world.
Yeah, because I feel like most of the courses are maybe in the US. I think they're US based or UK based.
Yeah, yeah, UK based. Because lighting design is much stronger from what I've, or like all the designers that I follow are mostly UK based. So the standards are different, but of course the levels can be something that are different. The knowledge is the same. The thought process is the same.
So who all do you follow?
So there is one designer who... I will have to check her name. There's Maria, and there is another Anthony something. I'm forgetting his name.
We'll link it up in the
show notes. Yeah, we will. We'll do that. I will send you all the links. Yeah.
So, Dilraj, do you think architecture school helped you to kind of build on this skill of lighting design, or maybe directed you in the right direction?
It did direct me in the right direction, because had I not been into spaces, I wouldn't have known that lighting design is so important, or I wouldn't have known that mostly for people, lighting design comes as an afterthought for most of the people. So then how would you know that if you're not into that? So I think architecture was my path towards that.
Would you do anything differently if you were given a choice?
I think I would save the 2 years after I realized that I don't want to do this and learn about this more in detail. But because lighting in itself is such a vast topic that, you know, I could spend, probably go on learning more and more about it.
So I can't even imagine. Like, I mean, I feel like career-wise, you have this idea and you have this image.
Yeah.
Like, with lighting design, I'm like blank. I'm like, wow, what would it be like?
You know, honestly, I was blank when I started.
Really?
Because I didn't know. And this is, again, even right now when there's an interview wall, there's something that we are following. And there are different categories, right? You see an architect, you see an interior designer, you see a product designer, you see a furniture designer, accessory designer, and I say I am a lighting designer, and people just look at my face and they're like, oh, what does that mean? What is that? So there are places where I've got that category introduced, and I've told them that this is, you know, something that is a profession. Like, you can't can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Because mostly, even like, this is something that we are changing in the Indian market as well. People come to us and they say that, okay, everything is done. My layouts are set and my POP is done. Now it's the finishing stage. And now I need to get the lights. And I'm like, no, that's not when you should come to me. Then they come, they see the products and they see what all they could have done and what all options they had. And then by the end of it, they're like, I wish we came here before earlier. We were planning or at an earlier stage.
Maybe for the next project, they'll do that.
And that is what happens. Then for the next project, they know that when the concept is just ready and when they're working on the layouts, that's when they come and they discuss about lighting.
So how much time do you think it'll take to kind of change the market and the kind of questions that are thrown at you as a lighting designer?
From what I can see, it is now, after 2017 to now, so after approximately 2 years, I can still see some change, that people are coming to us at an earlier stage and they would want to discuss that at an earlier stage. But I think generally the image that people have in their minds is of taking lighting design as something, just as something, and putting it up. It's not something that is given as much thought as it should be, because it honestly makes or breaks a space. It's a very cliche line, but that is so true about it, that lighting can either completely change the space that there is, or it can completely break the space or not. I have seen such beautiful artworks. I've seen such beautiful wall claddings and everything that could be enhanced in such a beautiful way. But they're subdued, or they're kind of, you know, that part of the space that is left out. And they can, just one change in that fixture and they can transform completely.
So do you think there are, or do you know of any other such similar studios that are in the market?
I don't know of studios. I know where people can, I know separately of lighting designers. I know separately of vendors. I don't know anyone who's doing it together.
Do you think we need more lighting designers design studios to kind of change the market?
I think we do.
Yeah.
Because it is very important for people to give, like, you know, there have to be dedicated people who cater to such an important element of the space.
So, Dilraj, how is it like to be a woman entrepreneur? Have you faced any problems because of the fact that you're a woman as an entrepreneur?
I have. Especially when you're in an industry where it's all about men. So, if you think about LED manufacturing or people who deal in lights, I have not seen any other woman in India or in the circle, at least that I have, where there are any women who are dealing in lights. Of course, when you go out of the country, there are a lot of women who are in this profession.
Yeah.
But in India, there are none. So you talk about... So my father had started manufacturing LED lights about 6 years back. And that is how we started the family business for light. And one of the reasons also why I joined him and opened a separate vertical. So when we used to go for these exhibitions or any conferences that we had, it was about 100 men in the room and just me, with me and my father.
Yeah.
And then he would introduce me, and there are things that, okay, so my dad does manufacture LED lights, but his knowledge is for LED lights. When it comes to decorative, when it comes to layouts and everything, he himself says that, you know, she would know it better than I would, because she's done that study. And still, people, when they're talking to me, they would make an eye contact with my father and not me, because that's the kind of confidence that Indians usually do have. And to see someone who's at this age and saying that you're a woman and you know more about, like, you can talk about lux levels and the costings more than any other men, it does, you can very clearly see a difference in the attitudes that they have. However, when it comes to the design aspect, I feel when it comes to layouts and when it comes to designing at the studio, people would want to listen to me more. So that is the, like, you know, when it comes to anything that is technical, they don't want to listen to a woman talking.
Yeah.
But when it comes to design, then because my head designer in my studio is also a woman.
Yeah.
And she would come and discuss, and she would say that, okay, this is what we are going to do, and this is what changes that we are making. And they would very well accept. But when it comes to layouts, or when it comes to talking about the technical or the lux levels required or anything, they would listen to my employee more than they would want to listen to me.
That's
so there are times when people, and it's not like I would not make it common, like everyone does not do it.
Yeah, obviously.
But
obviously, it's not a blanket statement, but it's, I feel like it very much exists.
It does.
Even as an architect, I feel like being a woman,
there
have been times, and even I've been alone, like the only youngest female member of the entire team.
So I've, at the site, I have had so we work with the architects, right? And my team would go and they would be installing or doing something, and the contractor there would not listen to me. So I would say that, okay, this is what is required, we need a wiring to come at this point, and he would just completely ignore that. And I have to call the architect, and he would tell him to do that, and then he would like, okay, I do you think it's really required, we can do it the other way. And once the architect was just like, you know what, just do what she's saying. So we have faced things like that with those as well.
As most of our listeners know, we've been running a Keto crowdfunding campaign to raise funds and capital to produce season 2. We'd like to take a few seconds to thank all our contributors to help us raise enough capital to be able to produce season 2. Did you have any favorite subjects in college? So this is, I feel like this is one common question that has been asked when I put out the Instagram story. Everyone was like curious to know what the choice was in college. Like, what was your favorite subject?
So I used to paint a lot. So of course, art was my favorite subject. And that is what, again, that is something that you work on, and it's a quick project and you're done with it. And it's just your creative juices flowing. Like, that's all is required. So yes,
that was
was my favorite.
And are any of your fixtures inspired by your own painting?
It's the other way around now. My paintings are inspired by the lighting fixtures that we have. So the idea of the lighting studio was also lighting the chandelier or the main statement piece and the artwork. They go hand in hand. So the collections that we are going to launch in the coming, like in this year also, they will come with a set of paintings that, again, like they, the two highlights of the space become the main thing for us.
That's amazing.
Yes.
So why don't you merge it with like an interior design venture as well? Because, you know, you're an architect. I mean,
yeah,
you
but
can.
Then see, when it comes to interior design, there's so much. I don't know how people focus on so much to do. I'm okay with just concentrating on what is giving me happiness. So yes, the lighting design and art is something that I would like to focus on.
Maybe a few years down the line.
No, never. Because there is so much. If I do that, then I would be doing the same thing. That's not doing justice to lighting. Mm. And there is so much that goes behind the lighting design, be it a product that you're designing or the layouts. So I don't want to break away from that.
So just to understand the process a little better, could you run us through like a generic start to end process of when you're designing a light structure or of installation right from scratch, from ideation level?
Yeah.
What comes first, then how does it go?
When it comes to designing the fixture or when it comes to designing the installation that we're talking about, then of course the first and the foremost that thing that we need to see or ask the client is the kind of space that they're trying to create. So the finishes that they want, the vibe that they have, is it vintage, is it modern, is it very contemporary, or is it a fusion, or what kind of it, because that depends, that decides the materials that we use. Then it comes down to how often would they be using that space, because how delicate or how sturdy that lighting fixture has to be, it depends on that. And then how, what kind of age groups are going to be using that, because again, it depends on, I could be putting up a chandelier that is very delicate, that has like threads that require a lot of care.
Yeah.
So then that won't go well if there are kids in the house.
Mm.
So all of these things revolve around that. Then of course, if they want the lighting fixture to be as the statement piece, or do they want it to be a part of the architecture? Do they want the lighting to stand out, or do they want the lighting to highlight the other things? So all of these things define what our design is going to be like.
So once the ideation is done, then what happens?
Then we make the 3Ds for the space
fixture
or the lighting design that is. So usually we end up giving them options of the 3Ds that they have, or if there is anything that there is in their minds. And then from the 3Ds, we go down to the samples, and which we usually end up making or getting four of it. After, of course, that there is the technical drawings, and then you get the samples made.
Yeah.
And then we have two or three samples that they choose from.
Okay.
And then there is actually usually, like, we do make 100 wall lights for hair masters. Like, it's a salon here in Delhi.
Okay.
And the same wall light had to go in on all their spaces. Oh. So in the same...
All the locations?
No, in one store.
One location.
Yeah,
oh,
100
store.
Lights.
Oh my
God. So every chair had two of these.
Wow.
And all spaces. So it was very crucial for them to know what kind of, like, you know, it doesn't have to be something that... that intrudes what they're doing.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be something that's very delicate, because there are, like, it's going to be a hustle and bustle throughout the day.
Yeah.
So we made two or three samples, and the ones that they like the most are the ones that we took into production. So it works around that way, that first they choose the design, then they choose the then they select from the samples, and then it goes down to the final production.
So the sample, do you like put it in the actual space and light it up and then show it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's very important for people to see the lighting effect and the fixture in the end that will be there. Because we as designers can still imagine how the 3D would look like in reality. But people have a tough time imagining.
Of course, So do you think the objective of architecture school, do you think the focus needs to be redefined and taken, and the focus needs to be taken away a little bit away from building construction and design as two subjects, and maybe a little more into lighting design or art or something else?
For sure, because I think architects, in even if you look at your own batch or you see people who have graduated or anyone, there are people who have found their I would not say diverse occupations, but it is something related to architecture. But it's not architecture.
It's
like
not
how,
core architecture.
Yeah, it's not core architecture. There are things that, and I don't know why we concentrate so much on just design and building construction, because as a profession, there's so much you can do around architecture. Like, I didn't even know that lighting design would involve so much till I really jumped into it. At if you had asked me at college level, I would just be like, yeah, it is just another thing that you have to do. One of the processes or one of the steps that you have to take.
Yeah.
I didn't know it requires so much detailing. So that is what, if we educate the students at an early stage, it would be really, I think it will be empowering them even more so that they know that what are the options that they have instead of just sticking to the rules or just
the standard route. I feel like that's kind of, that becomes implied in college that, you know, okay, you're, and I don't know if, I think it should be also, or it shouldn't be, I don't know. I mean,
see, if I, again, if I could go back and change, I would really want to do my internship with a lighting designer.
Yeah.
Or someone. So I didn't know that at that time, that does that even qualify for me to become an architect? Yeah. Or does that,
I think,
not?
That's when I think architecture schools can kind of, you know, be a little more accommodating and say that, hey, if you want to do an internship at a firm which doesn't necessarily practice core architecture, I think that'll be okay with us, as long as you show us something
exactly
tangible.
From what I remember, there were people who wanted to do that also, but that was looked down upon. That was something that, oh, you're not learning what you're supposed to learn.
Yeah.
But that is what you want to learn. So why not do that?
Exactly. I think there's this like this underlying tone or there's this underlying message saying that if you're doing anything away from core architecture, then you're not really doing architecture.
Yeah, or you're not. Yeah, exactly. And not even doing architecture. I think it just makes you feel like you're... I honestly thought that I was not good enough to do what, like to be an architect or, but I know that how strongly I'm using my architecture knowledge now, but it's not architecture, right?
Yeah.
So it is very important for people to know that your passion can be a part of the whole picture. It doesn't have to be something that you have to take care or do something that involves everything at the same time.
Yeah. And that's, and also I feel like that's the reason why, a lot of people end up having unhappy careers also.
Yeah.
Like they don't know any better.
Yeah. We've heard this line so many times in architecture, ki agar interior designer hi banna hai, to 5 saal kyun kar rahe ho?
Exactly.
2-4 saal ka course kar lo.
But you don't know no after school if you want to do interior design.
Yeah. You don't know where your passion lies, right? You would not, like if someone tells me to go back and get into building construction, I would be like, no. Like that's too boring for me. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's very important for people to recognize their passions at an early stage, and so that even architecture school should be supportive of that and help them explore what they need to do,
or at least be encouraging about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, if you want to do something different. Also, I feel like if we have those kind of teachers, people teaching us, like if we were taught lighting design by someone who is a lighting designer, then we would be like, hey, this is a legit thing.
Yeah.
And it's not just our building construction teacher coming in and also teaching us lighting design.
Exactly.
It is an actual person who's doing this.
That is my plan for the next 1 year, I guess, that I would be building up something to get into schools and colleges and change those mindsets.
I think you should like get into one class or two class teaching or send someone.
Yeah. I'm already actually working on a workshop, that maybe a weekend workshop that I would be doing with kids, because it's very important. From what I've seen, people have a mindset about lighting design, and how do you change that? The only way you can change it is by introducing the concept to people who are going to be taking care of it in the coming years.
Yes, I think that's really, it's a very smart thing that you're doing. Also, I feel like it also bridges the gap between like artistic expression
and
architecture.
And it's the technical knowledge.
Yeah, it's like a meeting point. It's not only painting, sculpture, mural. Yeah. There's also lighting design.
Exactly.
It's something, it's very interesting. The only thing that I get reminded of when I think of lighting design is like this very cliched movie, Runaway Bride. And Julia Roberts in the end, when she kind of, you know, breaks up with whatever. Richard Gere, she makes all these lighting structures and puts it in the basement, and he's just walking by and he's like, wow. Like, ooh, this is a thing. You can do that.
There's so much you can do. There's so much play that can happen with just lighting design. So, and it's, and again, it is something that you can consider as a part of a sculptural experiment. It is something that you can consider a part of a technical experiment, because like what material you're using with light in itself has its own properties, how you're reflecting it, how you want it to make a pattern of its own, or you just want to illuminate a space. So that makes a difference.
So do you also give well, direction and advice to architects when it comes to natural lighting and window placement and all of that?
I do, because again, like when if it's about a space, and if it's mostly architects, when it comes to this point, they are very well aware of it. They know, like, because natural light and architecture and using the and enhancing the natural light, I would say, is something that is taken up in architecture. Is something that where they're placing the windows, where the how they're reflecting back the natural light, or how they're spreading it out, is taken care of really well.
Achha.
So, but when it comes to artificial light, it becomes a challenge. But yeah, there have been times when a little tweak here and there has made it better. So yes, super.
So Dilraj, can you tell us a little bit more about when you decided to consciously took that decision to move away from architecture, core architecture?
Yeah.
What was that decision like? Did you take any advice from people, from a mentor or someone?
I did. I was, like I shared before, I was feeling like, am I doing this because I'm incapable of taking up full projects or what is it? But it's not that. When I got into lighting design, I spoke to, we were already working with a lot of architects who used to, who were taking lights from us, or even these big brands who we were doing OEMs for.
Mm.
So till that time, we didn't have a lighting brand of our own.
Mm.
And we were just, taking up production for other brands. And I was speaking to the procurement heads of those lighting designers, and I was trying to understand how it works, like how does the market work. And when they say that they work with the architects and they suggest the kind of lighting that is required to go in, and I ask them their qualifications, and there is no qualification that revolves around architecture or revolves around interior design also. So on what basis? The only technical knowledge that they have is helping them do that. And I thought that in that aspect, I do have an extra edge over everyone else, since I do understand the spaces as well. I do understand the kind of ambience any architect would try to create. I do understand that if there is an output that they require, how I can help them better make that space better through lighting design. And I think more these procurement heads or the manufacturing of LED lights, they are the people who really gave me that direction to go towards that.
The vendors.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I understood that even though they are right now guiding the market, they still somewhere lack that knowledge.
Mm.
So how it was important for them also be to learn. Like if you are guiding someone through this, you have to know what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
So if they're relying on you, if architects are relying on who's providing them the lights or what wattage, even right now, like if people would come to us and they would say that, okay, this is the space, what wattage of light would you think is required for, a particular space? And the layouts that they get from different clients revolve more around, I would say, the number of lights that are going out or the kind of fixture. It doesn't give an explanation. Like, I've won over projects from other vendors on the basis of this, that I could explain why I'm putting what kind of light I'm putting.
You could give a technical reasoning or logic behind it.
Yes, yeah. So it is very important to know that. It is very important to know what your why your layout works in a particular way and why it doesn't.
So what was that time at this time when you decided that, okay, fine, I'm going to, launch Dibel and it's going to happen. It's going to be real.
Yeah.
How did you kind of convince yourself that I'm ready in terms of my skill set? And what gave you that confidence to kind of move ahead and say that, hey, you know what, I'm going to open my own thing?
Because I was working on one on my dad's office project only, actually.
Achha.
And the lighting, the person who was doing the interior project, like I was working very closely with her. I was trying to understand how it works. And her lighting layout, from what was given to us, was completely different from the idea that I had as a lighting consultant or I had as, as a person who was thinking like a lighting professional at that time.
Yeah.
And when I tweaked the little changes that we made, that did make a lot of impact. And I got that changed, even though so that was our office. I just had to pacify my dad a little, that it's a little extra cost that you will have to deal with because we've already made a layout and you have to just make a few changes and just trust me on that. And we did, and it did make a lot of impact. So I could see that, you know, if it can happen here, it can happen everywhere. So that's when I switched.
I think that's a huge confidence booster when you have like a comparative. It's like ek bari mein comparative analysis bhi ho gaya saath mein. Exactly. You're like, haan chalo, this is nice. This is
yeah.
Nice. So cool.
And then of course when we did the lighting for our own studio, that was my first full-fledged project when I was doing the lighting layouts for my studio. So I was not involved in the design at all. The architect had taken care of that completely. But lighting was something that, of course, if he was opening a lighting studio, you're like, aap batao kahan daal. So we did take care of the light. And then from the decorative to illuminating the office space and how, like, that was a lot of fun for me to do that. So that's, again, that's something that built up my confidence again.
So when you decided to open your own venture, you're essentially an entrepreneur in that sense, right?
Yeah.
So did you do any kind of planning when it came to investment, when it came to financial investment, when it came to making a roadmap as to, you know, from where will you go from this, from A to B to C? Did you do any of that kind of planning?
I did make a roadmap. I did think about the investments also a lot. Right now I have money that I owe to my dad, but that he was the major investor. He is the major investor, and it's a separate vertical that we've opened for the work that he's been doing. He's been into electronics for 30 years.
Wow.
So lighting is a separate vertical that we did in collaboration, where basically I'm working and he is paying for it.
I think but everyone starts like that.
Yeah.
You need to have someone who comes in and invests.
But yes, that I got that investment only because I could tell him that this is the plan and this is what we're going to do. I did show him that this is the gap in the market. This is required to be done. And, you know, mostly when you talk about how parents work, how I've seen, they would want to stick to something that is safe.
Yes.
This wasn't something that was safe because it's not something that you've seen.
Yeah.
What is a lighting designer?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
That is not something. What
it's
are you talking about?
It's like the exact opposite of end of the spectrum.
Yes. So what is that even a, you know, is that even a profession? What are you talking about? But then when I did, I had to actually make a PPT in my house and show it to him that, okay, this is what it is, and pitch my idea to him. And then, yes, we did. He did. Get convinced, I guess, and I hope he doesn't regret it.
Clearly, Raj, you're on NDTV now. I don't think anybody is regretting this investment.
Yes.
Great. So, let's talk a little bit now about failure. I feel like with every entrepreneurial venture, failure is like a very important part that I think even directs you in a certain way. So could you share with us some kind of experience that you had where you thought things would work out, but it didn't work out that way in a project or in that kind of a situation?
So there have been actually a lot of projects.
Also, and how do you deal with it? That's very important.
There have been a lot of projects where things don't work out at all of how you want them to work out, because everything right now that we do is a learning experience. But from my, from just the way I am, I would want to get to the end of it, to the crux of it, no matter how, you know, that how, whatever is happening. If that's a problem, we need to solve it. That's the approach that I have.
Yeah.
And if it takes longer, the maximum, like, you know, I can do is make up for it. Or however, like, what can you do about it? But if there's an issue that needs to be resolved, we do resolve it. If there is something that is unresolvable, like there are projects that we've also lost because there are limitations on the site, there are limitations that we can't fulfill, like, you don't know, there are building construction limitations. Even though I know that if I get into that completely, because you do have the technical and the architectural knowledge as well. So if you get into that, get working with the architects and the contractors, there are solutions that you can come out and do. But I don't know if convincing the client for architectural changes is a part of something that I am doing. And that is not something that we dealt with. So there are projects that I lose on when it comes to that aspect. But, and I'm, otherwise, if there is any issue that comes up, we do end up resolving it. So there hasn't been any place where I've not been able to achieve what is required to be done. The result can be delayed.
Yeah.
But I end up getting the result that is required.
That's amazing. So do you feel the need to kind of collaborate with the architecture team also? Do you feel that itch that, you know,
It eventually happens only.
It happens?
But yeah, that's because right. We do end up, when it's about wiring, when it's about everything, it is important to collaborate with the architecture.
What I meant was in terms of space design, because I don't.
Of course, if anyone is willing to get inputs, then I do. This is more about how many ever people you get, there will be 100 minds, 100 thoughts.
Yes.
So if there are people who are open to that, then of course I would want to do that view, because, you know, you're a designer, your mind doesn't stop and you're like, yes, exactly.
There are no boundaries in a designer's mind, because I feel like when you start with lighting, lighting is space. Natural lighting, then you reach the windows and then you reach the walls and design.
Yeah, but you know, these architects that I'm working with, they amaze me also. The kind of spaces that they have and the kind of spaces that they create, it's just over. Like, I see it and I'm like, wow, like, this is something that I couldn't have thought about. So it's really great to be working with such creative people.
When it comes to clients, by the end of the day, you are a designer.
Yeah.
And those people are clients.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with a conflict of interest?
It's either like how I think all designers deal with. It's either our way or it's
the highway.
Yeah. I would love to say that, but I do end up convincing my clients in a particular way. And if they're not, they are very clear about what they want, if they're very clear about, even though it won't look nice, but I have to go with this, then okay, it's in the end your house, your space. Then we do end up doing what is, you know, what they require. But then after that, how it looks after it's being installed is not my responsibility then, right?
Oh, so if they don't like it, has there been a time when someone doesn't like what has been made and they come back to you for changes?
No. Because I make it very clear that, you know, the best part is that we work with 3D. So they already know this is how it's going to look. They are choosing it to look at it like that. So that's fine. Like, you know.
You chose it.
Yeah. There are no surprises. No surprises at all. Yeah, this is what it'll be.
Completely transparent.
Yeah.
Nice. So, Devdash, now we've reached a part of the podcast, which is a new part, which is called Listener's Question.
Okay.
So we have one person, it's not a person actually, it's a firm called Urban Shastra. And they have sent a question which says, can you suggest a reliable source for lighting design online? I think we've already spoken about it, but just for the sake of maybe giving an answer, you can repeat it.
Lighting design online?
Yeah, like I think they're asking for a course or something.
Or maybe they're asking for projects consultation.
Either That's way, let's answer like. Both of them.
Yeah, okay. So, I think there are, if you're thinking about learning more about lighting design, then there are courses by UCL, there are courses by individual designers and professionals who are working in the field, and they are like sharing that knowledge. So just like one Google click and you'll get 1,000 results in that.
Yeah.
But if you're talking about online consultation, then debelstudio.com.
Great. So thank you, Dilraj, for coming in. Learned a lot about what, like, I had no idea, honestly, about what lighting design is.
Yes.
So
thank you so much for having me here. And it was great. I didn't know that what I would add on to Good for Construction. But yes, it is lighting is something.
This is like, I think this is a direction into a short course on lighting design.
Yes.
It starts with you. Yeah. Then if people like it, then they'll probably take it up professionally. But I think it's a good starting place. And I feel like it's important to put this profession on the map as well. Especially in India and the Indian context.
Exactly. Yeah. It is. I hope people get more aware of how important lighting is.
Yeah.
For even their health. Because it's very important to have the right kind of lighting.
Yes. Great. So thank you guys for listening in. We will be back next Friday. You can listen to our content and subscribe to it on Spotify, iTunes, Castbox. There is a link to Audioboom as well. You'll find all these links in the description below. And please follow us on Instagram, and we're on Twitter. We're also on Facebook, and we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. Have a great day and weekend. Bye.